News Radio 1020 KDKA.
School vouchers, school choice. Is it a good idea? I think yes, but the question is, can we afford it? Big hearing in the state Senate yesterday. Tony Romeo, our KDKA Harrisburg Bureau Chief, covered it.
State Senate Education Committee hearing got heated at times. Republican Jeffrey Pakola, committee chairman and sponsor of the voucher bill, tangled with Baruch Kintish of the Education Law Center. Pakola accused the Law Center and other groups of opposing not just vouchers, but previous legislation to address failing schools.
You speak out of both sides of your mouth. One day it's we're against this, and then the next day you're against that, and nothing ever changes.
Senator, I would ask you respectfully for a little bit of time, 15 minutes. In
15
your,
years.
Not now.
We've had 15 years. No more time.
Governor Corbett's education secretary nominee testified in support of the concept of giving parents tax dollars to send their children to private schools. Opponents say, among other things, it'll drain public schools of scarce resources. In Harrisburg, Tony Romeo, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Yeah, and there's a bigger issue here. The real question is, can we afford it? Now, one of the groups opposing this is the newly formed Pennsylvania opposed to vouchers. That's kind of a succinct, to-the-point title. Joseph Bard is a member of that. He's also executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small Schools. Joseph, welcome to KDKA.
Thank you.
Joseph, I know your organization is, your kind of home organization is the Association of Rural and Small Schools, but isn't this Pennsylvania's opposed to vouchers, wasn't this really formed by the teachers' unions?
No.
Are they involved in it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But it was not formed by them?
No.
Okay.
It was a joint effort by a number of education organizations to have a platform to express our views.
Okay. Well, I already know that the Pennsylvania State Education Association, as an example, is absolutely opposed to this. Why would you oppose this?
Well, in particular, there are a number of bases of objection to it. Some are more altruistic than others. The number one reason is the cost. And particularly for rural and small schools, it is a dead-end street. There are very few opportunities for these so-called opportunity scholarships to be used in our more isolated and rural parts of the state. And the fact that the funding for these is coming off the top of the basic education appropriation from the state, it means that those kids, the only thing they get to share in is the opportunity to pay for them.
Well, the kids are not paying, the parents are paying for them, essentially.
Well, in terms of educational opportunity, I would say that If that is lessened, then the kids pay for it.
Are the schools in the rural areas doing that well? I would think not.
Academically?
Yeah.
They're doing, I would say, easily the average of the state, and Pennsylvania as a state is not doing as badly as some of the louder critics would say. Our reading scores are among the nation's best. Only six states have statistically significantly higher fourth grade reading scores than PA. No states have statistically significantly higher eighth grade reading scores. And our math scores are among the nation's best. Now, you can be critical of how the nation is doing, but Pennsylvania,
well,
the nation, is not doing badly.
Right, right. But just to be clear here, this would, in this first wave, I guess you would call it, if this would get passed, we're dealing with schools that are underperforming. It's not every school. Only the schools that are underperforming. And the vouchers only go to people who are of lower income.
They have named in the bill that 144 schools, priority schools, they call them,
mm-hmm.
would be the recipients. But that changes rapidly after the first year, and you have many more kids and schools available, so that by the third year, the vouchers would be available to homeschoolers. Starting, and that would definitely increase the cost to public schools.
Why do you think so many people are, increasing numbers of people are opting for homeschooling? I mean, what's your take on why they would do that?
Well, the easy answer for a good part of it is religious convictions. Because we know...
Wouldn't have anything to do with the parents' concept of the quality of the schools at which their kids would have to go if they're in public school.
I think that is part of it for some of them. Those, unfortunately, tend to be the kids that end up being taken from the school and put in homeschooling, then put back in school, then taken out for homeschooling again.
Well, I don't know what your point is there. So the parents, paying for
instability, and do I think that some of it is because of dissatisfaction with public schools? Certainly.
Yeah.
I think that the growth of homeschooling up to this point has been less there hasn't been as much as I would have thought a few years ago that there would have been. But it is a significant number.
Well, part of that problem is the fact that both parents tend to have to work now, and they may not have time to be at home with their kids, so they
That's if you want to homeschool, that's definitely a problem.
Well, right. And the reason that people have to work double jobs or three jobs and have both parents working is to pay these taxes, including school taxes, for schools that may not be doing the job. And I know you say that, well, Pennsylvania's doing so well, but you still have these, we'll call them pockets. It doesn't necessarily mean that the whole district is bad. It could be there are certain schools. Like here in Allegheny County, there's like 12 or 18 schools that would be included in the first go-round on this voucher thing because they're underperforming. So there are individual schools. Don't you think that Joseph Bard is who we're talking with. He's executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small Schools, and he's also a member of the Pennsylvanians Opposed to Vouchers. This is a newly formed group to fight the school choice school voucher program that has been proposed by State Senator Anthony Williams. He's from Philadelphia. Now, don't you think that your, I'll call them constituents, for lack of a better word, don't you think that they would actually benefit their children by having the opportunity to get a voucher to let them go to a maybe even another public school or a private or parochial school?
For the majority of the members of my organization, which are actually school districts, the rural and small school districts, for their students, there is little opportunity, because if they were to try to use the voucher to go to another public school district, the distance is a factor. If they were to use it to go to a non-public or private school in most of these areas, they don't exist. So it's not a choice.
In a de facto sense, there is no choice at all, is what you're saying.
The majority of these kids.
Well, and that's okay, and that is a very good argument about. I want to talk about the cost of this, because there are numbers tossed around about the ultimate cost of this that we really need to consider. Personally, I think this is a good idea. I think competition's a great idea. I think for parents who want to get their kids out of a bad school, out of a bad situation. Inner city schools where they're worried about their safety, let alone their academics. I think it's a great idea in concept, but can we afford it is the question. 216 right now. Our number is 866-391-1020. We're talking with Joseph Bard. He's executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small School Districts, and he's also a member of the newly formed Pennsylvanians Opposed to School Vouchers on KDKA. Talking about school vouchers and the cost of same, I happen to think it's a great idea. My guest is not. He is opposing it. Joseph Bard is executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small School Districts, and he's also a member of the newly formed Pennsylvanians Opposed to School Vouchers. And let's take a question here from Tom in Sharon. Tom, you are on KDKA. Go.
Thank you, Mike. It's a great topic. When I look at the situation, I see we've already got busing in place. We already have established buildings. We have furniture and equipment in those buildings. To go with a voucher-type system, the good students are going to be cherry-picked first. We're still going to have the residue of poor students left. Wouldn't it be wiser to have a voucher system for behavior problem students and poor performing students so that they can get one-on-one attention, and with teachers who are poor performers, give them a one-time retraining package or severance package or moving package? In other words, $15,000, if you don't get it right, then you're out the door.
Tom, comment on that, would you please? Joseph Bard?
Yes. Well, that's certainly a population of students that needs every bit of help that we can give them, and our current system is strained in doing that. The special education kids in particular are a concern, however, under a voucher system, because we don't think that this proposed law, this bill, adequately enforces their rights under both federal and state law. So we have a concern for that. But I think that anything that helps kids with very serious issues and helps the kids in the schools do their learning in a safer environment is something that has to be considered.
Well, okay, I'm not sure that was the answer to the question. Let's talk about cost right now, because that's what I only have a minute or two left here, but let's talk about the cost of this. Now, okay. you and your organization are saying that this is going to be too expensive. We can't afford it. Tell about that.
Well, you'll have to ride with me through some numbers here, but we have about 307,000 non-public school children. Of those, in the third year of this program, about 107,000 would be eligible for vouchers. 521,000, approximately, of our 1.8 million public school students would also be eligible. Now, if these kids, 50% of them, let's say, took advantage of the tuition vouchers for an average of $7,000, it would bring an unfunded liability against the state and or local school districts of approximately, well, almost $3 billion. And that still leaves us the funding of the majority of the kids in public schools to deal with.
You don't see any cost savings at all or any benefit to some competition?
If it is competition, I mean, as I define competition, it's dependent on a level playing field. This is not a level playing field. I mean, these voucher students will go to schools where the school is not even required to keep them if they don't want to.
Okay, but you're saying that this, what was the figure again, that after 3 years of this, because it goes in stages, 1, 2, and 3 years, by the third year, you're saying it's going to cost taxpayers how much?
There could be an unfunded liability against the state and or local school districts of approximately, some of my colleagues say over $4 billion, I'm saying $3 billion.
And that's because the money's coming off the state's reimbursement to local school districts. It comes off the top.
Comes off.
Follows the kid to the new school.
Unless we're going to raise taxes sufficient to provide a separate source of funding.
And you're basing this on the fact that the school, that the fixed costs for the public schools remain regardless of whether there's any kids at all who now want to attend that school.
Because the kids don't come out a class at a time. They come out a kid here, a kid there, and their money would follow them,
which would be lost now to that public school district.
Right, but it also comes off of a total appropriation of money that is meant to be. Mm. I mean, there is economy of scale in the way we spend our money, and don't forget that one kid coming out of a public school going to a non-public school just adds one kid to that class. I doubt that one kid costs $7,000.
All right.
But
that's okay. I got to stop there. But that's assuming it's always $7,000. It may not be.
No, that's an average.
An average then. All right. Thank you for that, Joseph Bard, executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of Rural and Small School Districts, and is a member of the Pennsylvania's Opposed to Vouchers.